Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheth me. I want to preach on every one of these verses. You read this and you think, my goodness sakes. You know, folks, verse number 8, if you just could learn that and implement that, you know, you could cancel all your psychiatrist appointments. You honestly could. You take care of all of your mully grubs and all of your griping, most of your complaining and most of your selfishness and feeling sorry for yourself. Paul learned some things. This is why he survived the ministry. This is why he was prosperous personally in his life. He learned how to control this thing. Verse number 8. He learned how to control his wanter in verse number 12. And he learned how to have a positive attitude through Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I mean, right there is revival. Change you all the way from the inside out. Just those three truths. And now that you've got those, let's pray. We'll go home. And unfortunately, I'm not preaching on those things. I'm going to start in verse 14 and work down. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with me my affliction. For ye now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I depart from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, and having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to preach very specifically, Lord. We're going to pick a very specific subject. We're going to address it tonight. I want to be an encouragement, Lord, to our church and help us, Lord, to understand what the Bible says and promises in this matter of missions giving. We want to continue to be a church that gives faithfully to missions, to fulfill the commitments that we've made to missionary families and projects, ministries, Lord, across this nation, around the world. And Lord, we certainly ask, dear God, that you'd bless us. Lord, as we take this Sunday night, talk on this subject, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I may change our Christmas banquet. And when I say that, don't get scared. I'm going to have a Christmas banquet. I don't know, even if I had not a whole lot of spiritual reasons, I just like the food. And so I'm going to have Christmas banquet. I might do something different this year. I'm playing around with the idea. How many of you, from time to time, feel like you need some R&R? Amen. How many of you feel that right now? Amen. Well, dear, I could use some R&R. Well, we may just have, instead of a Christmas banquet, an R&R banquet. And I think that there's two things that you ought to do on purpose, scheduled to do in your life, and that's, first of all, remember. And number two, rededicate. Sometimes you need to look back at what God has done in your life and be thankful. And then with the blessings of those memories, rededicate yourself to doing something also for the Lord in the year to come. In the past year since our last missions emphasis month, it's just been wonderful to see what the Lord has done through the missions giving at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm excited about that. I love our missionary program. I love Missionary Hall. I love walking up and down it many, many times during the week. I have more, of course, opportunities since I work here every day than you would have. But many, many times during the week, I'll take a break out of my office, walk through the auditorium, go back, pick out a letter or two, take a few minutes, pray over that family. Sometimes I'll take the kiosk and push a button and review the family names and catch up on what's happening in their lives and pray for them. We are a blessed church. We're a blessed church. And it's a great thing, as Brother Peach reminded us this morning, to be involved in missions giving, to understand that all of those ministries that are represented through letters on our kiosks, all of those ministries we have a part in. We partner with those people. And let me say this, make it more personal. When I walk through there, I think to myself, I partner with you. I help you. I am a part of what's happening in ministries all across the nation and all around the world. I can do that through missions giving. I want to preach tonight on missions giving. This is our missions emphasis month. We've done it a little differently than we've done it in the past. I, on purpose, have taken this missions emphasis month, even though we did have and have had a couple missionaries come through and speak and visit. For the most part, we have focused on reorganizing our efforts and to reach our Jerusalem. As again, Brother Peach mentioned, we need to do both. That word both in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, will change your life if you let it. We want to reach the uttermost, but we also want to reach our Jerusalem. We want to reach our Judea. We have two. I don't have them on the calendar. I'll give you the dates later, but we have two Judea projects planned for this year where we will take our entire visitation force on a particular Saturday, and we will go and to another church in southern Indiana that is either starting or struggling, and we will visit for that church and try to encourage that pastor and have an influence, a direct influence on our Judea. One of the things I was excited about when me and Cheryl flew out to California to see Tabitha and for me to preach in chapel out there, when we landed, we called Tabitha and I said, "Where are you?" And she said, "Brother Treber's taken the entire student body and we've gone about an hour and a half away from where the church is, and we are visiting for a church that's getting ready to kick off." And I thought to myself, thank God for that kind of heart. Thank God for that mentality. I've said this, I'm going to keep saying it. I think in Independent Fundamental Baptist, our movement, there's way too much selfishness. There's way too much of the attitude that if it doesn't put a dollar in my plate or a person in my pew, I don't have time for it. But my Bible says, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, I wouldn't be a very good Christian at all if I could get excited about what's happening in Ghana, but I couldn't get excited about what's happening in the next county. Why is it that we can rejoice over God's blessing in a church as long as it's far enough away that it doesn't affect us? And if God blesses somebody too close to us, we can't rejoice. We just got to get jealous about it. I think that's nonsense. Folks, we go to a great church here, and God's blessed this church, but we're not the only church. And you know what? There's other churches out there trying to do a work for God. And you know what? I'm just excited to hear somebody else in southern Indiana having some success in the ministry and winning people to Christ as I am, hearing about it right here at home. I want you to have that heart, by the way. But so this matter of reaching people for Jesus Christ, this matter of doing both, we have spent a lot of time in the focus, kind of the "this one thing I do" attitude that we're going to have, as far as more than other things, is we're going to work on our core strength and expanding our ministries, both in the young adult class, the bus ministry. But folks, can I say this? One of the reasons that we are doing this is so that by the end of this year, we will have grown to the point where we can then do more in our Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. I want to encourage you, even in a year where your pastors kind of stood up and said, "Folks, you know what, we're going to take this year and we're going to work on our Jerusalem," I still don't want you to lose your burden for the world. And I don't want our church to lose our burden for the world. It's very important. Here it is, the last Sunday in February. It's very important that we recommit, remember and rededicate and recommit to this matter of making sure that we're faithful in missions giving. Now, there's some wonderful things that are taught in this portion of Scripture. I love the way that God inspired Paul to communicate with those who had communicated to his needs. The church of Philippi was a missions church, a missions giving church. Matter of fact, he reports in verse 15 that except for them, no church had communicated with him as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. I wonder what a blessing that was for Paul. You know, you think the sadness of that, all of the different churches that God used Paul to plant, and all of the people he saw saved, and yet all of those churches, it was kind of an out of sight, out of mind mentality. While he was here, we took care of him. When he left, we forgot about him. That's a shame. But not the church of Philippi. By the way, isn't it interesting that if you go to the books of all of the other churches, there's hardly one that you can go to where Paul does not have to deal with some problems and sometimes some outright carnality. And yet when you read the book of Philippi, the entire book is just kind of a big attaboy and just encouragement, and the fire's going and he's just going to splash a little gas on the fire. I mean, there's hardly a negative thing. You know what? I think that a lot of times the heart of a church to give to missions is a good thermometer to test the spirituality of that church. And that church that has that type of a heart usually doesn't have a whole lot of problems. Listen, if all of our thoughts are on the good things and all of our thoughts are on trying to get the gospel out, and if we are focused on that, then we tend to focus less on ourselves and less on the petty things of life. Now, he also says some very interesting things concerning the gift that they sent him. He said that they've done it more than once, by the way. They did it on a regular basis. Verse 17, not because, he noticed this, I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And I want to say this, and I know most of our veteran Christians know this, but let's be reminded of it. Some new Christians need to hear this. But this is what happens when you give to missions giving. By the way, in all of the pews in front of you, there's an envelope that says missions. And if you, on a regular basis, whether you choose to do it weekly or biweekly or monthly, if you make a commitment to missions and you fill that envelope and you consistently give to missions, I want you to understand something. Every letter. Did you hear that? Brother Schwenke went out there. How long has he been out there now? Maybe a year and a half, something like that. 90. Planted a brand new church. You know what? The fruit that he's seen, the eternal reward from the fruit that he's seen, some of that's going on Jerry Ross's account. I mean, when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ one of these days, some of them souls are going to be credited to the fact that I was willing to give to missions. If you give to the missions of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, the souls that are saved in Ghana, the souls that are the church planting efforts, what's happening in Montana, what's happening across the nation, what's happening across the world, every time somebody wins someone to Christ, part of the reward of that's going to be put on my account and on your account. I don't know about you, but I kind of like taking that missions envelope, putting some missions giving in there. I want that. Listen, folks, I'm going to have enough things that I'm not proud of. And I'm going to tell you, if I can make the judgment seat any better for me, I'm going to do it. And the idea that I could go to every one of those letters and read the blessings and the souls saved and say, you know what, when I get to heaven one of these days, God's going to say, you know what, because you were willing to give to missions through your local church, part of that reward goes to your account. Now, he also goes on and says this in verse number 18. I love this. I know I've pointed it out before, but I want to point it out to you again. But I have all in abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Now, notice how Paul describes this monetary care of this missionary church planner. He says that the gift that was sent, the money that is sent, he describes it, by the way, by inspiration of God, he describes it as an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now, the honest truth is, and it's good for us to see this, you take that missions envelope, you put your missions giving in it, you get ready to put it in there, I want you to understand that God up in heaven, God Almighty, looks down and he's well-pleased with that gift. Matter of fact, he kind of leans over and smells that, and that's like a perfumed sacrifice. That brings pleasure to Almighty God. Now, folks, listen, I'm not telling you these things to try to get you to give more to missions. I'm telling you these things because it's true. God is well pleased with a church and with an individual Christian who faithfully gives to missions. And then he tacks on this promise, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, folks, this promise is not something that you can pluck out of the context and walk around and wave it and say, God is obligated to provide all of my needs. Wait a minute. No, this is in connection to missions giving, connected to missions giving. Now, I want to share some things about missions giving to you, and these things, I'll be honest with you, I've learned over the course of a lifetime. of giving to missions and being involved in missionary work and all of these things. I want to just share some things from my heart with you tonight. Let me first of all say this. Missions giving should be a part of every Christian's giving strategy. Missions giving should be a part of every Christian's giving strategy. And this is what your pastors ask you to do. And I want you to consider it, please. Tithes and offerings, that goes to the general fund. And by the way, a lot of the tithes and offerings that go to our general fund go into missions work. They go because we take a percentage of it and help support missionaries. They go because a lot of that general fund is spent on missionary efforts right in our own Jerusalem. So even that, a lot of that is missions giving. But it ties in offerings to the general fund of your church. Then it's very biblical, secondly, that we give faithfully and consistently to our building fund and our the care of our buildings, the funds that take care of our building. And I won't read it, but 2 Kings chapter 12 talks about the need to faithfully and regularly give towards the repairs. Folks, I don't know if you noticed this, but this building right here that we're standing in, built 1975, 1976, you show me any building that's that age, and I'll show you a building that needs a lot of repair, needs a lot of upkeep. It's not a matter of just building a building and needing money. The facilities we have now is in constant need of something. And so on Wednesday nights, we take all of those things that come in, and that goes to our building fund, and that helps us to maintain the buildings and also helps us to lay the foundation for future building. I had one of the members tell me this morning, he said, "Brother Jerry," he said, "you know, you're talking about doubling this, and if God blesses and that happens, have you looked around our auditorium on Sunday morning?" I said, "Don't talk about this. Don't talk about this to me." I said, I'm praying for the rapture. I don't want to go through another building program. But the honest truth is, if God does continue to bless, you know what? We're going to have to do something one of these days. And so if we faithfully give along to the upkeep of the buildings, then that helps us. Missions giving is what we're talking about tonight. I think every Christian ought to give tithes and offerings. That goes to the general fund. They ought to give Wednesday nights to go to the building fund. They ought to give missions giving, get a missions envelope, put something in it. I mean missions giving on purpose. I'm talking about asking God to lead you and help you to know the amount that you ought to give. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then fourthly, I found out in my life that there's what I call a divine appointments to give beyond my tithes and offering, building fund, missions giving. Sometimes God just brings across my path personally as a Christian somebody that has a need, an individual that has a need. And you know what? Me and Cheryl are always looking for those opportunities. And that's not something that your right hand is supposed to know what your left hand is doing. So I'm not going to get up here and chronicle those things. But if you have that type of a radar going all the time, and you're looking for people, and you're open to the Holy Spirit and His moving in your life as far as you observing something, you seeing something, there's a need somewhere, you know what? Then and God sees that if He shows you those things, you'll respond to them. It's amazing, folks, the blessing of Almighty God that comes upon your life. "Oh, Brother Jerry, you don't understand. I don't have enough to give." And I shake my head. And I think, you know what? You do not understand Bible principles at all. I don't have enough to give. Well, why don't you just go ahead and follow the Lord's leading and give and see if God doesn't make sure that you have enough. And so I don't know. I've tried it. We haven't been able to do it yet. You can't outgive God. And if you, I'm talking about using prayer and using sensibility and following the Holy Spirit, having a giving strategy. I'm talking about if you'll be tender to what God wants you to do on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, consistent giving, and also be open to letting the Holy Spirit tap on your shoulder at any time and say, "Hey, you know what? You got some meat in the freezer. Why don't you fill up a sack and take it over to so-and-so and they could be blessed?" Or, "Hey, see that little kid that came in on the bus and his toes are sticking out his shoes? Why don't you slip the bus captain $20 and make sure that that kid gets a pair of shoes?" I'm talking about that kind of giving. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about when missionaries come in, sometimes looking around. Let the Lord be tender to your heart. And when we have a evangelist come in, I want the men, don't you be afraid to go out there and check out their vehicle and take a look at the tires on their car. And from time to time say, "You know what, preacher, maybe we ought to do something about this." I want to be a giving church, and I want to be a giving individual. I want to do it cheerfully and happily, and I want to do it at every opportunity that God gives me and directs me. And you know what? It's a great way to live. It really is. So missions, number one, missions giving should be a part of every Christian's giving strategy. Number two, God guarantees providing the needs of those who give to missions. And that's what we pointed out in Philippians 4:19. That promise is for those who give to missions. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know what he says? He said, I'm going to make you a promise. I'm going to provide all you need. And let me tell you what I'm going to back up that promise with: God's bank account. All of his riches in glory. Last time I checked, and what I read in the Bible, God's not in any danger of going broke. He's never needed Obama to bail him out. Heaven's never needed a stimulus package in its way. I mean, God in heaven and the saints of God, those precious loved ones that you miss that are in heaven are strolling up and down streets of gold. I mean, folks, there's no problem with finances in heaven. Aren't you looking forward to heaven? That'd be a blessing, won't it? And God guarantees to provide the needs of those who give faithfully to missions. Well, preacher, you know what? I can't afford to give any more to missions. I want to say this. You can't afford not to give. I mean it. I mean it. I don't care how tough times are. You can't afford not to give. You may not be able to give what you gave at one time. You may not be able to get, but I'm telling you, you know, folks, you're just cutting off the supply train. It don't make any sense. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, and let me just say this, and you take it, and you, if the Holy Spirit, if this is the case in your life, it's if not, I'm not trying to be mean. But listen carefully. You know, everybody wants to talk about, you know, the economic crisis and the cutbacks and all this thing. And I do understand that in a real sense that's very real and it's affecting even people right here in this room. But let me also say this. How come when we get cut back in some area financially, one of the first things we want to do is cut God back? You know, why don't we cut back on going to the restaurant? Why don't we cut back on our McDonald's drive-thru stops? How come the first thing we got to do, I mean, are you down to where you're only eating macaroni and hot dogs? Well, come on then. You know, let's be sensible. The honest truth is, why do we always want to take from God? Why do we feel like the first thing we got to do when there's a crisis, well, we can't afford to give to missions? My answer is always the same. You can't afford not to. Because that secures you this promise, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And it always has humored me through the years to hear people that say that they can't afford to give to missions, but I watch what they can afford. It humors me. I'm not sure it humors the Lord. So, number two, God guarantees providing the needs of those who give to missions. Number three, let me give you this, parents. Children and young people should be trained to give to missions. I mean, your children, your young people ought to be raised to give to missions. Oh, Brother Jerry, I'm telling you what, I'm so scared. I've got these little babies and I'm looking at this world and the economy and the craziness and what kind of a world are they going to live? You want to secure their future? You want to secure their financial future? Just go ahead and start teaching them at a young age to give to missions. I mean, honestly, if they earn some money, you ought to teach them to give tithes and offerings, number one. That's the first step. But you ought to also teach them to be open-hearted in this matter of helping missionaries. And I love it when we get a missions envelope and it comes in and it's got three nickels in it and a bunch of chocolate fingerprints on the outside of it. I mean it. Praise God. Praise God. Man, that's good. Some mama's got some sense. Some daddy's got some sense. They're teaching a child right. Because, listen, folks, that's going to secure the blessings of God on that child's life and the financial blessings on that child's life all through their growing up years, you see. Number four, let me give you this. Giving, I think you ought to consider this. Giving, we've been able to do it. Giving can be increased every year. Giving can be increased every year. I've never been able to always increase at the same amount year by year, but we've always been able to increase our giving. We've always been able to increase our tithes and offerings. We've always been able to increase what we give to building, and we've always been able to increase what we give to missions. Well, it must be nice to be so blessed financially. No, we just decide that we're by faith going to step out and do it, and it's amazing how God always comes through for us. And I'm not talking about ridiculous things, but I'm talking about be open-hearted to this. I just have a hard time going backwards on God. I do. Okay, whether it's right or wrong, maybe I'm wrong on this, but I just have a hard time backing up on God. I just don't know how that says to him that I'm willing to live by faith. But I want to take another step In this coming year, here it is, Missions Emphasis Month. Here it is, another opportunity to lock in, another opportunity to say, you know what, let's do this as a family. Let's step out by faith and let's do this. And it's just amazing how year by year God continues to bless and help us to be able to give faithfully to these things. I know this is true too. Number five, God blesses missions-minded churches. Now this is the testimony of thousands of churches across the land. Show me a church that's generous with missions and has a generous missions program, and I'll show you a church that has the blessings of God on it. I like this. I like this idea of being known for a lot of things, but I think it's a blessing to be known as a missions church, a missions-minded church. I want to continue to grow that. We want to continue to see God's blessing in this area of our life. Now, I want to secure God's blessing on this church. I feel like one of the jobs, one of my responsibilities as pastor is always be looking at our church and saying, what can we do to, in a more definite way, secure the blessing of Almighty God on this church? I want you who are coming to this church and who have placed their families in this church to be in a place where God's blessing it. Well, one of the sure things that you want to do is, from the pulpit, emphasize the importance of being active in supporting missionaries. And again, I think we've pursued this reasonably. I think we've tried to use good sense. I don't think we've been foolish. But at the same time, I like to see us step out and increase just a little bit every year. Would you pray about that? Would you pray about that? And honestly, you say, preacher, you know what? Financial situation's changed a little. And would you just honestly just... And listen, this between you and God, I found out this is true. I promise you it's true. I found out that it's a lot better for God to tell you what to give to missions than for me to try to tell you what to give to missions. My job is to encourage you to please take it before God. Take it before God. I mean, lay it out in front of Him and say, Lord, you know what? Maybe you can show me as I look at my finances a way that we can, in maybe some small way or maybe some large way, depending on how God's blessed you, is there a way that I could increase in my giving strategy? Is there ways we can take a step forward in our tithes and offerings? There's a way we can do a little bit more to help with the building and the different projects. Is there a way we can increase a little bit in our missions giving? And Lord, always make me open and willing to take a look and even to be willing to give and help others out of my own necessity if you lead me to do so. What a blessed, blessed way to live. Let me give you this number six. Boy, this is so true. My heart for the world expands or diminishes according to my missions giving. My heart for the world expands or diminishes according to my missions giving. I'm going to tell you the truth. That's one of the reasons I'm so scared to go backwards on missions. Because the Bible does say, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There's some of you in the room that every single Sunday night when I turn around and I say, Brother Roger, let's have the missions letter for this week, and he'd come up, that you kind of just quiet and you get up on the edge of your seat a little bit and you listen to every word that's being said. You know why? Because your heart's there. You know why? Because you're invested in it. There's some of you that, you know what, he could be reading Mary Had a Little Lamb, Fleece as White as Snow, and you'd pay about as much attention, and you don't really care what's happening in these people's lives. You know why? You don't invest in them. You know what? My heart follows my treasures. And I'm going to tell you something. I have a heart not just for Jasonville. I'm going to say this. Look right up here and listen to me. Condemn me if you want to condemn me. But as pastor of this church, I do not just have a heart for our Jerusalem. I have a heart for this Jerusalem. I have a heart for a Judea. I'm tired of being condemned about that, by the way. I'm up here as an example to help you. Why don't you become what I am and stop asking me to become what you are? I do not just have a heart for our Jerusalem. Guilty, it's charged. Talk about it all you want. Yes, I care about things outside the boundaries of our Jerusalem. I pray over southern Indiana and weep tears over southern Indiana. I was talking to somebody, I can't remember, right before the church service, and they said something very interesting. I know who it was, I won't mention, but said something very interesting. Said, you know what, Brother Jerry, you know the activity of the bus ministry in this church and other churches in this area, and I know the world or the nation as a whole is in trouble, but wouldn't it be interesting if God just kind of made a little, I think the word he used was a little pocket here where we could see just some unusual things happen and the cause of Christ advance in an unusual way. I feel that way. I feel like that southern Indiana is ripe for revival. I do. Brother Fugit's got the same feeling about Kentucky. Everybody ought to feel that way about your Jerusalem, Judea situation and have a heart to see that happen. I pray for pastors all across our state. I pray for churches all across our state. I would love to see Indiana. I'd like to see something start in southern Indiana that just explodes, and who knows how far it'll go. And you know what? This church could be a part of that happening. That's exciting to me. But I'm also excited to read that there is a real revival spirit happening in all kinds of the most unbelievable parts of the world. You don't realize this, and I'm glad to hear that they're starting an India team, but you know some of the most amazing stories of salvations and revival is happening in India? In India? Where the Hindus rule and reign? In India? Isn't that amazing? I think that's amazing. You know, I'm not sure what's going to happen in America. Maybe we will just finish our term here, our lifetime here, before the cause of Christ picking the gleanings. But I promise you this, there are hot spots in this world where we are seeing unusual things happen. Mass evangelism, people turning to God, true revival in God's people's hearts. Well, I'm not giving up on this country. No, I'm not. No, I'm not going to wave the white flag. Maybe we have one more great awakening in us before this whole thing goes to hell in a handbasket. Who knows? And maybe if it's not national, couldn't it be regional? Couldn't something unusual happen here? These are the kind of things that keep your preacher up at night. These are the kind of things that keep me on my knees and praying. These are the kind of things that keep me over the maps and putting my hands on cities and towns and areas. This is the kind of thing that makes me drive the way I've driven the last 2 months and visited every one of the burgs where we have a possibility of running a bus and getting out and getting on a sidewalk and getting on my face and God, could you please help us to reach this city for Jesus Christ? Now, why do you have that heart? I'm going to tell you one of the reasons I have it. One of the reasons I have that heart is because I'm not a cheapskate when it comes to God. Because I'm not a cheapskate. My heart's where my investment is. And that's what I want to see. So give to missions, because I promise you it'll do something in your heart. If you regularly give to missions, there's no way in the world you can pick up a globe and just turn it and just read the names of the countries without tears coming to your eyes and God doing something in your heart. I mean, I love being able to just look at that. You know what? I rejoice in every country where we're having an impact. And I put my hands and pray over the countries where we have not yet been able to support a missionary. Maybe we're not able to do that yet. It bothers me. You say, preacher, come on, there's a lot of countries. I'm sorry, I can't help but be bothered. I want to see us do all we can for this world. And let me say this, and I'll finish with this. The last thing I want to give you is this. God always has in my life, and I think he has in anybody that's honest with God, has specifically directed me and my family in this matter of giving to missions. He's always directed us very specifically. I want you to take some time this evening and ask the Holy Spirit. Let me say this, folks. We have to maintain our commitment that we've made to these missionaries. We have to maintain it. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit of God what he would have you and your family to do this year, from this February to the next. We need to remember what God has done. We need to rededicate, reenlist, and take a look at what God would have us do in the matter of supporting missions in the upcoming year. Be tender to this. Let's not forget our missions program. Preacher, you've got all of this organization. We're going to work hard in our Jerusalem, and we're going to try to double some things around here. Amen, amen, amen. And pray that it happens. But we can't forget the world. We cannot forget the opportunity that God's given us to have an impact on this world. I'm done. But let me say this. And then I'll be really done. I believe this with all of my heart. Let me just give you one statement to take home with you, and we'll go home. I believe this with all of my heart. I believe that a country church in Jasonville, Indiana, can have a worldwide impact for Jesus Christ. I believe it. I believe it with all of my heart. I believe it. I believe that the people that attend this church can have a real good time at the judgment seat one of these days. And so let's bow our heads and let's take a moment, quiet our hearts. Now, I'm not going to pray right away. I just want you to take a minute and just kind of quiet your hearts. And I want you to do some talking to the Spirit of Almighty God. I want you to ask for direction in this. I'm not going to pass out commitment cards this year. I'm not going to ask for promises. I really, really just want something supernatural to happen in your life. You can help us reach our Jerusalem and our Judea by maybe increasing your giving to the general fund, tithes and offerings. And like I said, a lion's share of that goes to missions. You can help us reach the world, our Samaria and our uttermost, by increasing missions giving. I'm not asking you to do anything that God wouldn't tell you to do. Well, that's fair. I'm asking you just to go before Almighty God and go into His presence and really take some time, beginning now, throughout this week, on purpose think about it, on purpose pray about it, and let's rededicate ourselves afresh and anew to this idea of being generous towards the work of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that You'd bless this message. Do a stirring and do a work in our hearts and our lives. Help us, Lord, as we seek to accomplish, Lord, these simultaneous assignments. And Lord, we want to keep our missions program going strong, going forward. At the same time, Lord, we certainly want to impact our Jerusalem in a very unique way. And Lord, I'm going to go beyond that in a very miraculous way. Lord, I thank You for the influence in You allowing this church to even go outside of the borders and now be able to have a meaningful, growing impact on the eastern side of our county. Oh God, the years we prayed for that to be, and You're letting that happen, God. Keep the devil out of it, God. Protect it. Be with Brother Clanny. Protect him, protect his family, give him wisdom, God. Lord, I pray that You'd help us as Christians here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to understand that Satan hates this type of thing. He will attack on every level he can attack in our lives to try to get us focused on anything and everything but reaching the world for Christ. May we refuse him that opportunity. May we follow the formula that was given in the earlier scriptures that we just read. May we guard our minds and keep them focused on the good things, the true things, the blessed things of life. May we learn contentment, personal contentment. Free us from covetousness, God, and selfishness. May we have an overcomer's attitude, a positive attitude as we step out. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And then, Lord, give us a great heart for missions here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Thank You for the time we've been able to spend. All the blessings of today, thank You for them. In Jesus' name.